Welcome back to the Chris N Show. This is the Chris N Show, and I'm your guest today on this podcast that you are listening to now. I am the guest today. I am the guest today. This is the Chris N Show. You're listening to the Chris N Show, the Grandcast. That's the actual name.
Welcome back to the second half. Or I guess the second portion. It's probably not going to be half, since the first part went relatively long. An hour and a half. I think that's a pretty solid interview segment.
Okay.
So the second portion of the show, the mini segments. So we're just going to go through a series of mini segments. Mm-hmm. And the first of which is covering the intern situation here at the podcast.
You know, before we get started here, I really want to tell you.
Okay.
I was really hoping you'd ask me about my favorite bass metal or, you know, my favorite.
Oh.
You didn't, unfortunately.
No.
Damn.
What is your favorite bass metal?
Nickel.
Oh. That's a good one.
I know.
And what is your favorite coin?
Nickel.
Huh. You and Mike have a lot in common.
I know.
Favorite Canadian jock rock band?
Oh, jock rock. I know. I can't bring myself to say that Nickelback is my favorite.
Oh, Nickelback is your favorite. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I chose to hear.
Okay. Are you writing this down?
No. Maybe I might write down the time codes to delete it from the podcast after.
Oh. Sorry, it doesn't fit into your strict regimen of questions.
This is a
podcast
very,
Hitler.
Very moderately improvised podcast.
Okay.
Podcast Hitler? Really?
Podcast wow. Hitler?
I feel like...
Now I'm really going to be edited it out.
No, I want people to hear that. Is it the mustache?
Yeah, is that... you really should shave that thing.
Mm. It's the only spot where it grows, so... I have very limited choices here.
Yeah, that and that weird patch that you have down on the bottom right of your chin. What's that all about?
It's a birthmark, man. You're really being a dick tonight. I'm going to drink some beer now to...
Well,
I
apologize for my insensitivity.
That didn't sound sincere.
What do you want me to say? Are you not accepting my apology?
I will, just so that we can move on to the mini segments, but okay. I'm not sincere either, so whatever.
Fine.
And my chair's squeaking, which is unfortunate.
You're going to have to edit that out.
I can't. It's there forever.
Well, squeak it a lot. We'll make it part of the track.
The chair might break. Hey, stop it. That's a good chair.
Well, mine doesn't squeak.
Yeah, because people don't do that to it.
Well, you shouldn't do that to your chair.
What I do to my chair is my business.
And okay.
As long as it's in the privacy of my own home.
Hey, as long as if a man and a chair want to squeak together, that as long as it's in the privacy of their own home and nowhere else, then it's acceptable.
Not anymore. This is Trump's America. Like, I shouldn't even be mentioning the chair stuff.
Hey, at the beginning of this podcast, I said you got to respect my beliefs, okay? You will not talk about my president that way.
Because he... I feel like the chair issue is different, but that's fair.
Buddy, we're going to make America great again.
MAGA, yeah.
MAGA.
As long as those libtard cucks don't get in the way.
Oh, God. Do you know who my favorite... Samoan professional wrestler is?
No.
It's Umaga.
I don't understand the reference, but...
Ryan Lathrop, if you're listening.
He probably just cracked up.
Yeah.
That one's for you, Ryan. Are we ready to move on to the mini segments now?
No, let's keep fucking around for another 10 minutes, shall we?
How's the ginger beer treating you?
It's good. Yeah. Mm. It's not quite. Is it ginger beer or is it just ginger ale?
It's called Triple Ginger Brew, and it's got ginger, lemon, lime.
It tastes like halfway between ginger ale and ginger beer.
Hmm.
It's not quite as potent as ginger beer, but it's definitely stronger than ginger ale. I like it.
Nice. Yeah. Available at Trader Joe's only during the fall season.
Today's show brought to you by Trader Joe's. We treat our employees like garbage.
They actually don't. One of the cashiers was very forthcoming to me about how much he enjoyed working for Trader Joe's and how they get 401k and paid vacation.
I heard that they were not treated well compared to Aldi.
Oh, compared to Aldi, but yeah. That's like,
I don't know. I read on Wikipedia, which, as we all know, is infallible, an infallible source of information. Mm-hmm. I read that on Wikipedia that they do not treat their employees well, and it was one of the controversies that they came under fire for.
Under fire from whom?
I appreciate your proper usage of grammar, first of all. I don't know. I don't remember that specific part. The media. The liberal media.
Liberal. Oh, yeah. Those cucks.
Those cuck bastards.
Wow.
But it is the freedom to choose.
That shouldn't be allowed, right?
No, absolutely not. Nobody should have any freedom to choose. You get one thing in life.
The best thing.
The best thing in life is all you get. That's the classic, as the song goes, the classic song, who is it by? The Temptations, maybe? I don't know.
Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan. The best things in life are free. That's Bob Dylan's song.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That was a good one.
The best things in life are free, but you can save it for the birds and bees. I want money. Yeah, man. That's what I want.
He's a famous capitalist.
Yeah, famous for his intense love of capitalism, and also famous for my shitty impression of him.
That's probably what he's best known for.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
mini segment.
As you know from your previous listening experience, that I've been considering getting an intern for the show to help me with the production and the publishing and editing and all that. So I posted an ad for an intern, but I haven't gotten any responses yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you thought I could change to make the ad more appealing. So right now, I have an ad running as follows.
Yeah. Oh, you actually do. You have an actual ad right now.
Yeah, on job boards and...
Is it on Craigslist?
Craigslist, yeah.
This is for real?
Yeah.
Your last one, you just said that you were going to run one. Done one since then?
Yeah, but I'm not getting a response.
Okay.
And I think school's in session. Like, people should be looking for internships. I don't know how that works.
I don't pay attention to school anymore.
Yeah, me either.
It could be that all of them burned down and grizzly bears destroyed them all, and I wouldn't have any way of knowing.
Maybe there was an executive order terminating higher education.
That could be. I genuinely hope that is the case, because those liberal cucks at the universities have been
corrupting our youth.
With their elitist intellectual bullshit for too long, and I am tired of it.
One of the tenets of the Founding Fathers was that there's nothing more dangerous than an educated populace.
Absolutely. Benjamin Franklin once said that. And as Bob Dylan once said, we don't need no education.
Famously.
Boo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
And something about building a wall.
Yeah.
I remember that. I don't remember the exact line.
All in all, it's just another brick in the wall, man.
Between the United States and Mexico.
Yeah. That's what Bob Dylan was talking about when he created that album. And that's what Donald Trump was referencing, you know? The entire time he was talking about the wall, he was talking about that album by Bob Dylan.
It's part of our culture. Like,
it is.
I don't know why people deny it.
It's American culture.
All these culture deniers.
That famous American song, The Wall, by the great American hero, Bob Dylan.
Greatest capitalist of the 20th century.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, so the ad reads, Startup new media production company seeks highly motivated self-starter with strong technical skills for internship position. Compensation commensurate with experience. Stoic types preferred.
Because you don't want them to laugh.
I don't want them to laugh while we're recording
Does
the podcast.
Does it bother you that I've been laughing?
You're the guest. You're supposed to laugh.
Okay.
Like, but if there's a third party in the room laughing sporadically.
Here's the thing, though. Wouldn't that be good for the podcast? Because their laughter would encourage the audience to laugh, wouldn't it? It would have that kind of a
laugh track
effect.
I think that cheapens the laughs. But providing a social cue for when people need to be...
Yeah, but you're not doing it deliberately. You'd just be having somebody there that laughed when they felt like laughing.
Is there a laugh track in Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, and that's why it's not as funny as Seinfeld.
Wow.
It is a real thing, though. Look, all these people are like, I hate laugh tracks in TV shows. If they're fake, if they're canned laughter, then yeah, fine. I don't mind them because, look, people do feel more compelled to laugh when they see something, when it's part of a group experience. Look, if you go to a movie, if you go to like a comedy movie and a movie theater, which I rarely do because I only go to see like big movies in movie theaters, either big blockbuster movies or like a really good drama or whatever that just came out that I really want to see.
Hmm. What was the last movie you saw?
To
completely derail your
What was it called? Hidden Fences? No, sorry.
Just Hidden Fences? What was Hidden Fences?
Hidden Figures. That was a joke because was it Michael Keaton who called it Hidden Fences at the Golden Globes or something like that?
I don't know.
He got a lot of flack over it because there's fences and there's hidden figures and he called it Hidden Fences.
Oh.
And they're both movies with predominantly black casts, so
he's racist.
Exactly, yeah. He fucked up his wording, so he's racist.
Hmm.
That's the conclusion we jump to. I saw Hidden Figures, is what I saw. I've also heard it referred to as The Help in Space, which I think I heard that on Saturday Night Live.
That doesn't make it okay for you to say it.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I thought that was the funny line from Saturday Night Live. I thought that was hilarious. When I think they said that it's not The Help in Space, though, is what they were saying. Mm. I don't know. But it was really funny. It made me laugh a lot.
And I've forgotten what I derailed you from.
Mm. The intern thing. The intern. Oh, what can we add? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, the laugh track adding value.
Yeah, I do think. I don't know that it adds value, but psychologically speaking, that is a real thing.
I think that's something I hadn't considered, and I'll take it into consideration, because one of the shows on TV that I've watched the longest is The Big Bang Theory, which has...
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Probably later, but not right now.
You love that show?
I don't love it, but I appreciate it, because I think Chuck Lorre is, for the listening audience, Cameron just... pointed a gun at his forehead.
A bad improv gun, yeah.
Pulled the trigger.
Don't worry.
Right, not in front of me.
Not an actual gun, don't worry.
It looked real to me because I have a vivid imagination.
And very bad vision.
Yes. I was worried for a second, but it was, well, it could have been a silencer. I was going to say it didn't make the noise.
Yeah,
but...
very, very, very silencer. No, yeah, like it's psychological. It's a social cue for a reason. Like we are social beings, you know. And they did these experiments where, they had a bunch of actors that came in and like a doctor's office in a waiting room, and
that's hilarious.
Let me get to the point. The actors would every time there was like a tone that would come out over the PA system in the doctor's waiting room, all the actors would stand up and then sit back down. And they had one person who wasn't an actor come in and sit down in the waiting room with all the actors. And then gradually they would call the actors in, and new people who were real people and not actors would come in. Every single one of these people eventually would start standing, to the point where they got rid of all the actors and it was all just new people. And every time the tone would go off, all the people that were not actors would be standing up with the tone.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a social experiment.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's real, because it's, if you see a group of people doing something, you feel compelled to do it. You don't want to be the one person who's not doing that thing, because then you feel outcast. So that's why people laugh. They feel compelled to laugh when they hear laughter.
Even though they can't see the audience, it feels like there's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like they're missing.
Yeah, that is a real, I mean, it's definitely more potent when you're there in person. That's why I was talking about going to see movies. I went and saw, probably the last comedy that I remember seeing was Tina Fey, Amy Poehler in Sisters. Came out like a year ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. That was an okay movie. Wasn't a great movie. But I laughed at it in the theater probably more than I should have. More than I would have if I watched it on TV alone. Because
other people
were there laughing with it, you know? And I gotta tell you, at the end of Hidden Figures, by the way, everybody, I saw spoilers. It in Chicago.
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Everybody clapped at the end.
Ooh.
And I was just like, really? It's a movie theater.
People do that at the wealthy theater. They show those Meanwhile movies. So it's like movies from the 90s.
The wealthy theater, I kind of get. Wealthy street theater is like, or wealthy theater, or whatever it's called, is kind of a, it's kind of a little art house theater. This was just like a big chain theater with like 20 screens. And everybody at the end of the movie, oh, we're going to clap. That was so good. It was an okay movie. It wasn't great.
Did you see Don't Think Twice?
I did. I saw that one with Sal from Fictional Friends.
Sal's great.
Yeah, Sal's great. Sal Yako, if you're listening, I love you. I want to go see another movie with you, buddy.
And you're really talented, and you should do stuff with Beer City Improv.
Sure. Yeah. I wasn't going to say that, because I don't like saying nice things to people.
Oh.
But, I just like communicating how I feel about them. but no, Sal and I saw that together. He posted, you know, River City Improv, I think, did a contest where they're like, tag somebody that is the funniest person that you know, and you can win tickets to go see the whatever. And they picked two sets of people that did this. Sal tagged me, and we won. And I think Tom Hunt tagged Josh Heller, and they won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but Tom ended up taking Mike Nichols, because Josh had already seen it, because he went to see it with you.
He did.
At the Alamo Draft House, which is closing.
Oh, man. That's really too bad.
I've never been there. But
I just went the one time.
But I have been to a cinema like that where they serve alcohol and food and stuff. I went to one in Tampa. When I was in Tampa, Florida last year, and it was kind of cool. It was a little pricey, you know.
Yeah. You know? Don't want to spend, I forget what it was, like $35 for food and a movie ticket.
But then again, you can spend that much just going to the celebration.
Yeah.
If you go to one movie and you get like a bucket of popcorn, either buckets of popcorn are $10.
Ooh.
If you want the, maybe even 11, I don't remember. But
plus
that's
tax.
A lot. Yeah, that's a lot of money for a popcorn.
Yeah.
That's probably 1,000% markup on that.
At least.
At least. And that's including the cost of the bucket.
But unlimited butter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That unlimited butter.
That's butter-flavored
oil. Butter-flavored oil. Okay. So I think you're getting back to what we were talking about, your internship ad.
Compensation commensurate.
Yeah, what's
with
the compensation thing?
I think that's a creative way of saying that since they're a college student interning, that they won't have experience, so they won't be compensated.
So they won't be compensated, but what if they do have experience?
I probably wouldn't hire them then.
I would probably get rid of that portion because it implies there is compensation.
Yeah, to get interest.
Yeah, to get interest, but if you're...
It implies that there is compensation, but really there
isn't. There are like labor laws in this country. I don't know if you're allowed to imply...
Not anymore. Executive order.
Thank God. It's about time we repeal those regulations.
It's really holding back businesses like mine from selling.
It really is. People should be allowed to get paid 2 cents an hour, as far as I'm concerned.
I could probably swing 2 cents an hour.
Oh, yeah, I think you could probably do that. You could compensate them. And it's only an hour a week, so... I mean, maybe 2 hours a week, so... Here's your 4 cents
plus
for the week.
Editing and production. Yeah. Maybe if I could pay them in empty cans.
Yeah.
That's 10 cents each.
That's a good deal. That's better than 2 cents an hour. They have to do the extra labor to return them, but it's kind
of... That's not part of my overhead, so that's fine.
That's fine with you. Yeah. I think that's good. I think if you're going to pay them at all, you shouldn't pay them very much because people don't deserve to make money. And
they need motivation.
Speaking, yeah, they need motivation. Their motivation is they need to get a better job. And you're motivating them to do that by not paying them well. That's how the free market works, as Bob Dylan told us.
Yeah, in his famous ballad to the merits of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
What was the title of that ballad?
The Wall by Pink Floyd.
By Bob Dylan.
By Bob Dylan.
That was a good one.
Yeah, everybody thinks that it's by this band called Pink Floyd, but there was no Pink Floyd. That was just the name of every single one of his songs on that album.
Which is titled Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Like, there was The Wall by Pink Floyd, Money by Pink Floyd. But it was all, like, The Wall by Pink Floyd, which was a song by Bob Dylan. Money by Pink Floyd, which was a song by Bob Dylan. You get the idea.
I do. I lived it.
Because you are Bob Dylan. Uh-oh. Spoiler alert.
Metaphysically speaking, we're all kind of Bob Dylan.
We all are Bob Dylan. That was the ending of Battlestar Galactica. Spoiler alert. We are all Bob Dylan. Did you watch that? The reimagined series? I'm assuming you've seen it.
I don't think I watched all of it.
Really?
With Adamo.
Adama?
Adama.
Commander Adamo.
Well, I was assuming the end letter was some sort of gender. Language-specific gender recognition.
Oh, you think it's like Spanish, where the last letter, it pertains to your gender? So his wife would be Adama, but his name is Adamo?
Yeah, it's like the culture of the future.
Yeah, that's the culture of the future, yeah. The ending of... The ending of that show...
Spoilers.
In season 4... the song All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan plays at the very end of season 3. And it's legit, like, within the show, which takes place in another fucking galaxy.
Hmm.
And it's like they hear it. And I don't just mean like it's playing in the background that only the audience can hear. I mean, like, it's part of the show. It's part of the canon of the story. And All Along the Watchtower, the Bob Dylan song, which was made famous by Jimi Hendrix, but it is a Bob Dylan song, just like all Pink Floyd songs.
They were inspired by the name of the album to form their band.
Yeah, of course. That is a song within the show. And it turns out later on that, I don't know, like Bob Dylan was inspired to write it based on his genetics or some shit. It's never fully
DNA
explained.
DNA and fractals.
Ultimately, I think the explanation is, it's like a snowflake. The idea that he would ever, that anyone would recreate this song that existed millions of years before in the different galaxy is just a coincidence. A very, very, very extremely unlikely coincidence that the same language needed for making this song would develop on another planet in another galaxy. And then the guy would write the song. But that's how it ends. And then they show somebody playing it on a boombox in, like, the final scene on Earth.
Their Earth.
On our Earth.
Our Earth.
Yeah. Okay. Their Earth is our Earth. Spoiler alert.
Oh. Whoa. All right.
I just ruined that show for you. So that's what I think of your internship ad.
The Sci-Fi Channel ruined that show for me.
It was a good show.
Yeah, but the reuse of the CGI sequences and the when they did all the episodes that were just like filler.
Yeah. The final season was kind of rough of that show too. But the first three seasons are great.
Yeah. I think I watched the first two maybe.
And yeah. Then... it really hit its stride in season two, and season three was really good as well. And then season four, it kind of fell apart because one of the most interesting characters, Gaius Baltar, they ran out of things for him to do, and they made him into a cult leader, and it was just dumb.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. But yeah, your internship ad, I'm trying to think of what we can add to it. Must like Battlestar Galactica.
Mm.
No? Must... feel neutral about Battlestar Galactica? You don't want somebody that hates it, do you?
It doesn't really have any bearing on the show, except when you're the guest.
Which I will never be again. With that kind of attitude.
Hmm.
I don't know, like what do you need this intern for? To run the laptop for you?
Yeah. Like clicking the buttons and renaming the files. Maybe like typing up these improvised schedules and agendas and
okay,
printing them.
I mean, it's a couple hours a week of work, right?
Of valuable experience that they could put on their resume.
Sure. So I think maybe you should highlight how funny of an atmosphere it is. How much fun it will be. Looking for a podcast technician. Put that in there. You don't have
anything...
Should
I use the Comic Sans font?
You should use Comic Sans because it makes it more fun.
Huh.
Use Wingdings, man.
Wingdings?
Yeah, make them go through the effort to decode your ad.
That would get the highly motivated people.
It would.
And the strong technical skills because who knows how to...
Well, you just copy and paste and put it into a different font.
You'd be surprised how many people don't know about copy paste.
That's true.
Even in...
Are you writing this down? You should write this down. Put it in Wingdings. Sure. Put it in Wingdings on Craigslist.
Yep.
And see who does it.
I'm writing things down.
You're not actually writing anything.
That's fair. All right. Would you like to plug your social media and any upcoming events, such as the Planned Parenthood show at Comedy Outlet Mondays?
Monday. I just found out about that today.
January 6th.
Yep, February 6th, actually.
February 6th.
Yep. Yeah, come see us in 11 months, January 6th. We're going to be performing at Dog Story Theater. I don't know if this will even be out before Monday, but this is Saturday currently, February
today,
4th.
Yep. And tomorrow's the Super Bowl.
Check out the Super Bowl. That hasn't been hyped up quite enough yet. I don't know if you're aware, but there is a big football game tomorrow. It's to decide the entire thing, the championship. Make sure you check that out.
I'll be doing Uber driving.
Not nearly enough people are aware of this, but the Super Bowl is tomorrow.
More like the Stuper Bowl.
The Super Bowl is tomorrow. Please check it out. I really encourage you all to check it out. I am not involved. I am just a fan.
And don't drink and drive. Take an Uber instead. Because
on your way to the Super Bowl, do not drink and drive.
I don't think our audience here is going to be driving to the Super Bowl tomorrow. But
well,
I don't know.
In the event that they are, do not drink and drive. Drive, but don't drink. Don't drink. Or drive. Don't drink or drive. Take a plane, maybe. Then you can drink all you want. Unless you have to drive to the airport and back.
Or if you're driving the plane.
Or if you're driving the plane, into the ground.
You're going to drive a plane on the highway, not actually
you
take
You might
off.
Be an airline. You might be an airline pilot. This is my Jeff Foxworthy impression.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Do you appreciate that?
Yeah. Okay. I want more.
You might be an airline pilot.
Australian?
If you drink. You might be an airline pilot. If you drink and drive.
Now I'm going to get letters from airline pilots.
All airline pilots are drunks.
Whoa. There goes that whole demographic.
I went there. We just lost the airline pilot demographic. Oh. Well known for listening to local podcasts in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
They've got all that time in the air. Like, they're not flying the plane.
They have a lot of time in the air when they just have to sit back and not pay any attention to what's going on.
It's all autopilot.
And they can just focus on their podcasting.
Yeah.
Catching up on episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's Do they have a podcast now?
The Grey's Anatomy podcast, yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Hosted by McDreamy?
And McSteamy.
Ooh.
I don't know who McSteamy is, but that's somebody, right?
I think that's a sex move.
Yeah.
Involving a...
think you're thinking of the...
quarter pounder.
Think you're thinking... involving a quarter pounder.
Yeah.
What's your next game?
The next game is called Read Me NPR. So I have printed off
here
an excerpt of an NPR article. This one's a little long, but I think the content's good. So if you could please...
Watch me not read the fucking headlines like everybody else did so far. Oh, there aren't any in this one. Well, okay.
There aren't any in any of them.
Okay.
This is just an excerpt. If I have the headlines, then I'll probably get sued for copyright infringement.
I mean, by the headlines, I mean, like, you know how they separate parts of an article by putting, like, a little title portion or whatever?
I delete those.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I think maybe the first time you did it, you didn't, but...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's not your fault.
It is, actually. No. I can't blame the intern yet.
I know.
That's also why I want an intern.
You could blame the guest.
Oh, I could be like, yeah, that guest printed off the article. They brought their own article.
But they read it. They read it wrong.
All right, so in the style of an NPR host, so you probably want to get close to your microphone
mm-hmm.
and use kind of like a lower voice. I don't know. However you feel like NPR people talk. And then just read me the article, please.
Even outside of his music career, John Legend has led a pretty charmed life. The son of a Midwest factory worker, he was high school prom king, graduated early at 16, and turned down Harvard to attend another Ivy League school, the University of Pennsylvania. Oh, and he's married to a model. Legend spoke with NPR's David Greene about using his platform to address big picture issues in America, and what happens when the debates get personal. From the outside, it seems like you and your wife love your social media presence. Some people might be surprised to hear you feeling regret. John Legend replied, "We do, but there is a psychic cost to it, because you deal with a certain amount of negativity as well." And what do you make of that argument? People are saying, "Look, we prefer you to stick to your music." To which John Legend replied, "If you don't agree with my politics, the best way to love me is to just not follow me on Twitter. Honestly. Because I'm going to talk about politics on Twitter. But you can enjoy my music without even reading my Twitter." You okay with someone who reads a tweet and decides, "I don't agree with his politics. I'm not going to listen to his music ever again"? To which John Legend replied, "I think that's their choice. If they found out how many of their favorite artists were probably more liberal than them, then their music collection will start to suffer. But it's fine. Everybody makes their own choice. And I make my own choice to speak. I don't have to, and I know there's some cost that might be associated with it, but I do it anyway." Is there a larger cost for the entertainment world, which seems to be largely in one political camp, when you have a president who can paint the entertainment world as the enemy, in a way? To which John Legend replied, "Well, we've always been liberal. Musicians, actors, it's almost by disposition. We deal with the gay and lesbian community all the time, so we're going to feel like they should have the right to get married just like we do. We deal with people of all colors and all races, and we travel to different countries all the time to perform.
So we're going to have a more global view and more inclusive view. It's almost by nature and by circumstance of the things that we do. So if America doesn't want to consume the art of people who are liberal-minded, there's not going to be a lot of art for them to consume. It's as simple as that, because the best artists, most of them are liberal. Sorry. There are some country artists I know that are conservative, but there's a lot more country artists that are liberal and just don't talk about it, because they know their fans will reject it. I have a lot of friends, and believe me, some of them are liberal, but they don't make a big deal out of it, because they know it'll alienate their base. I'm telling you, most creative people are liberal.
And I realized that I missed a tremendous opportunity to have the last sentence be, most people are liberal cucktards.
Well, yeah, just edit the NPR article.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was nice.
That was a bit of an awkward one because I was also, the part in bold was like I was quoting somebody, but then the parts that weren't in bold after that were all just John Legend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of like, oh, maybe I should try to read this as John Legend, but then I didn't, and I shouldn't have read the other one. I shouldn't have read the other one as the other guy either, but
it worked. Know. This segment is called Guess My Number. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 1 million.
Oh, I thought you meant like the number of people that you've fucked.
No.
Between 1 and 1 million. I would hope not.
I mean, technically, yes, it is
or
between
I would hope so,
it's
huh?
between 1 and 1 million.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So, you're not a virgin. We can say that.
That is a true statement.
Okay. Congratulations, sir.
Thanks. I guess. I mean, better for me than. Well.
Guess your number.
Yep.
Is your number. This is a lot of pressure. I gotta get it right. 622,439.
Nope.
Well, I tried.
Thank you for trying. The next segment is called Word Association. So I have a series of words here that are starting points. So I'm going to say a word. You say the first word that comes to mind.
Okay.
From that word. And then we go back and forth.
Yeah.
First word. And, all right, this is windy, like breeze, not like Wendy's, the hamburger restaurant.
You can if you enunciate correctly.
I can't. I've started consuming alcohol and my enunciation and pronunciation and ability to translate words into
But your
noises.
Grammar has gotten better.
That's strange. Well, you reprimanded me so stiffly. And then during the break, the physical discipline.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
I kind of want to.
Okay.
But I'm not going to.
Okay, good.
Because I'm Catholic.
You repress it.
I was raised Catholic.
Repress it. Just repress it.
Bottle it
all up.
Push it down.
Push it down. And it just...
Nothing
bad. One day you'll die.
Yep. Wendy.
So this is Wendy is in the chain of hamburger restaurants.
Correct.
Hamburger.
Restaurant.
Chain.
Slave.
Wage.
Bernie.
Sanders.
Fried chicken.
Colonel.
Popcorn.
Butter.
Oil.
Tar.
Sands.
Time.
Lord.
Keeper.
Trapper.
School.
High.
Pencil.
Pen.
Right.
Wrong.
Incorrect.
Correct.
Politically.
Motivated.
Disciplined.
Cam.
Aww.
Like, disciplined by, not that you're disciplined, yeah, obviously.
Of course, obviously.
All right, next word.
Okay, go ahead.
Deep.
Puddle.
Mud.
Band.
Awesome.
Nickelback.
Canadian.
Jim Carrey? No?
I don't know. Is he?
I don't know. I think he is.
He looks Canadian.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
Okay. Jim Carrey.
Dish. Oh, I'm starting over because I felt that reached its pinnacle.
Okay, fine. Dish. Plate.
Bowl.
Noodle.
Soup.
Miso.
Horny.
Koopa.
What? Koopa. Oh, 'cause he has horns?
Yeah. Don't question my thought process.
I want to understand it. This is why are you sticking your tongue out like that? That's part of your thought process?
Because you said horny.
I triggered you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm salivating over here. Give me that dick.
You think the word salivating is derived from Sal from Fictional Friends?
Yeah, it is. Sal salivates a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
That must be where the word came from. Camera is derived from my name.
Camera?
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Which is close to Chimera.
Yeah.
It's
Which
not
is a
really.
Mythical beast.
It is. Well, I know about it from one of the Mission Impossible movies, I think.
Are we still doing the word association?
Nope. Shed.
Shack.
Up.
Love.
Make.
Food.
Eat.
Pray.
Love.
Make.
Love.
Heart.
Love.
Red.
Blue.
Sky.
Cloud.
Atlas.
Tom Hanks.
Jim Carrey.
Oh, we got there. That's a callback.
Were they ever in anything together?
Tom Hanks and Jim Carrey.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand. I remember that somebody linked Tom Hanks and Jim Carrey before. I guess I don't know why, because I don't think they were ever
in anything. I don't know what anything. They could be in.
They're both actors.
They are both actors. Yeah. They could get pretty close.
We could probably do a 6 degrees of separation with them.
Probably less.
Well, I mean, it's still called 6 degrees of separation, or Kevin Bacon. Jim Carrey and Tom Hanks. Well, let's see. Shall we?
Let's.
You kind of shook your head no, but then you said let's.
I'm not super enthusiastic, but I feel like we could get there.
Okay, let's see. What are some movies that Jim Carrey was in with other people?
Me, myself, and stars. Irene had Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
She's been in a lot of...
Renee Zellweger was in the Bridget Jones movies with Hugh Grant. Was Hugh Grant in anything with Tom Hanks? No, but Hugh Grant was in Notting Hill with Julia Roberts, and Julia Roberts was definitely in something with Tom Hanks, right? What was she in with Tom Hanks?
Pretty Woman?
No, that was Richard Gere. That was Richard Gere.
Aaron Brockovich.
I don't know. Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts were in something together.
You've Got
Mail? They had to have been.
Who was in You've Got Mail?
No, that was Megan. That was Meg Ryan. Shall we look it up?
The Ocean's 11 series that Julia Roberts was in. That's like every Leo DiCaprio.
Was Tom Hanks in Hanks in Ocean's 11?
No. But there's so many. Matt Damon was. I feel like we've crossed 6 degrees.
Julia, no, we haven't. We haven't yet. We're at three or four. We're maybe at four. Julia Roberts, yep. Tom
Renee Zellweger.
Hanks.
What, you're Googling things?
Yeah.
That's like cheating.
Julia Roberts was in Hook with Robin Williams.
was Robin Williams with? Robin Williams was in
Big?
Larry Crown. They were both in Larry Crown together. Julia Roberts and Tom Hanks were in Larry Crown together. I knew they were in something together.
The Thomas Crown Affair?
Larry Crown. It's unrelated.
Oh.
And I knew they were in something together. Boom, we got there. So we went from Jim Carrey. We went from Jim Carrey. No, don't hit the thing.
No, I was stopping the.
We went from Jim Carrey to what movie did we start with?
Bridget Jones's.
Nope, he wasn't in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Me, Myself, and Irene
with Renee Zellweger, who is in Bridget Jones's Diary with Hugh Grant, who is in Notting Hill with Julia Roberts. So we started with Me, Myself, and Irene. So Jim Carrey to Renee Zellweger, Renee Zellweger to Hugh Grant, Hugh Grant to Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts, Tom Hanks, 4 degrees of separation.
Hmm.
I think we could probably get there with fewer degrees of separation.
Probably. Hollywood is such an incestuous pile of libtard cucks that they've all been deeply involved with each other.
An incestuous pile. And you chastised me at the start of this podcast for talking about siblings.
None of them are well, some of them are siblings.
You just said incestuous.
Yeah, but that's not implying like literal incest. I didn't see. It's like,
oh, that would be terrible. But it still makes people
moving on.
Still makes people think of brothers and sisters fucking, probably.
Probably
the term incest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, next word. Lake.
Incest.
Next word, second.
First.
Time.
Big.
Time. Is there a rule about going back to the same word?
There probably should be, because you've been doing it a lot.
Yeah.
Clock.
Watch.
Me.
Fuck.
You.
Whoa! That's my word. Whoa.
That's my word.
All right. Next one. Olympic.
Games.
Board. B-O-A-R-D.
Shuffle.
Cards.
Humanity.
Oh, the humanity?
Oh, the is not a word.
It's two words.
Oa from Green Lantern.
Alright, next word. Big.
Tom Hanks.
Meg Ryan?
I can't think of any movies that Meg Ryan was in without Tom Hanks being in them also.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Nope, Tom Hanks was in that too.
I think that was actually Jim Carrey.
No.
No? I haven't seen it in a while.
That was definitely Tom Hanks. They did a lot of movies together. Or maybe just two. I know they did You've Got Mail, and they did Sleepless in Seattle.
Who was in Turner and Hooch? Hooch,
Turner was Tom Hanks, and Hooch was Meg Ryan, yeah.
A lot of saliva in that one. Yeah. All right.
Because she gave him a live blowjob on the set. And it was real, and it wasn't simulated.
Was that in the outtakes?
Yeah, it's in the director's cut. Yeah. She was pretty unhappy that they didn't end up using it.
He wasn't. All right, next word, time.
We just did time.
I know, we already got there. Should I?
Sage.
I didn't want to censor myself. I have a pre-scripted list.
I just said sage.
Rosemary.
Garlic.
Herb.
Chicken.
Dog.
Cat.
Turkey.
Dog meat.
Wasn't that the name of one of the characters on Eat My Shorts or Salute My Shorts? Or
maybe. It was also
Donkey
the name
Breath?
Of...
maybe that was not dog meat.
There was a name, I think it was the name of one of the... Fallout 4, right? The dog that you got was dog meat?
Oh.
Or maybe not Fallout 4.
I think so.
There was a dog named Dogmeat, and I don't remember if it was Fallout 4 or some other game.
I think it was. All right. Last and not least, fictional.
Friends.
Improv.
Community.
Parks and Recreation.
Amy Poehler.
Tina Fey.
Sisters.
Brothers.
Fucking.
God damn it. All right, that's the end of that segment. I'm sorry, Josh. Permanently. And Tom. I have no control over my guests.
Why do you talk to Josh and Tom?
Because they're listening.
Just them?
Probably.
Is Mike Nichols not going to listen to any of these?
I don't know. Mike, let me know. I can take your feelings into consideration.
As I have to ask, by the way, are we not allowed to say your last name on the show?
No. I'm Chris N.
Okay.
.org.
Because I thought I heard Tom say it, but I think he censored it out.
Yeah, I did. It's not my brand.
Okay. So you're going to be a podcast host who nobody knows the name of.
They don't need to. I'm just like the medium through which this podcast expresses itself.
Okay.
I'm not the host. I'm the voice of the idea of the podcast.
You're the Donald Trump of podcasting.
Thank you. That's the greatest compliment anyone has ever paid me.
You're welcome.
And I have very normal sized hands.
You do.
I do. I measure them. All right. Next segment is called Affirmation, which is where I pay my guest an affirmation. And Cameron, I think you're a very funny and talented comedian. I think you're a good friend. And I'm going to miss you when you leave.
Oh, I'm going to miss you too. Thank you. I appreciate the affirmation.
The next segment is called...
I think you're a very funny...
Don't reciprocate.
No?
Because it loses its authenticity.
Okay.
You shouldn't feel obligated.
Well, I think you kind of obligated yourself by making it a portion of your show.
Yeah, but these are sincere expressions of how I feel. And then if someone like immediately is like, oh, I feel the same way, then it's like, eh.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you mean.
I don't want you to feel obligated to affirm me.
I don't.
Maybe later. Okay. Once you had some time to percolate.
Percolate.
All right. Next segment is called Member. It's the nostalgia segment because nostalgia is so hot right now. I want to tap into that.
Yeah. Just right now. It never used to be.
Not like it is now. Star Wars.
It's because people are living too damn long.
How can we fix that?
I think President Trump will do a good job.
Oh, God. God willing. All those libtard cucks in there.
You're going to get a stern talking to.
Yeah.
By somebody.
By somebody? The podcast police? I'm saying those things in jest.
Oh, mostly, are you?
Mostly. Just because I have a framed Pepe on the wall.
I was going to ask you about that, but I wasn't sure.
I had him before. It was a symbol for hate.
Okay, sure.
Pepe used to be a very rare meme. It wasn't about hate.
Yep.
It was co-opted.
It was co-opted by the alt-right.
Exactly. All right, what is something that you remember fondly from your childhood?
Dumb and Dumber.
That's a good one. I'm glad you didn't say incest because...
Oh, God. No, I'm not that dark. You are, apparently. You went there.
I'm just learning about callbacks, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to own my comedy skills.
Damn it, now I wish I had said that.
This might end up being a lost episode. Like, I don't know if I can publish this.
No, you have to. No, like a fond memory of my childhood. getting kicked in the dick was pretty great experience. Wow. That's probably not the fondest memory.
No.
I don't know. Like fond memories.
Was it like a really
childhood.
Gentle kick?
I guess one of my fondest memories of actually I didn't really feel it, yeah. I remember when I was like 12, I went to Universal Studios with my dad, and only Florida? Time I ever went there.
In Florida?
Yeah, in Florida.
I think they have one in California.
Well, my dad lives in Tampa. I'm not going to visit my dad and go to the one in California.
I've heard it's better. I don't know.
Well, come on, Chris. Get with the program.
What program?
The one that I brought with me. Here, learn about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, please. It's a chick tract. You know what those are?
A what?
Chick tract?
Like Madonna music?
Yeah, no. Chick tracks. Chick tract.
Tract. Like tracts of land?
Like a... I don't know. He called them tracts. This guy, Jack Chick, I think is his name, maybe. I don't know. He founded Chick-fil-A. That's a joke.
Oh.
No, he didn't actually. By the way, Chick-fil-A? What the hell's the deal with Chick-fil-A? Have you been out there? I went out.
This is Trump's America.
I went out. Well, I went out by there. Down on Kalamazoo Avenue. I live kind of out near there. I live on 44th. But
shouldn't be so specific about where you live. There's a lot of internet.
I live at 4290 Nature Trail. I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not going to live there for much longer anyway. Anyway, I went out there. The new Chick-fil-A. Those of you unaware, there is a new Chick-fil-A. On Kalamazoo Avenue, the first one in West Michigan. I went by there today. I wasn't going to Chick-fil-A. I drove by it. Now they've been very busy all the times that I've seen that I've passed by before.
There's a lot of bigots in West Michigan.
Yep, that's exactly why. By the way, have we talked about how great Trump is in the last 20 seconds? Anyway, there were a car, you know, they have two lines of cars and then it kind of just merges into one line. But that one line goes out. They have cones set up that are like set up in a maze, like a queue that forms out into the parking lot and then goes out into the, you know, they have like a drive that goes into the Chick-fil-A and then goes all the way down to the drive. Today, not kidding, the cars were backed up out into Kalamazoo Avenue, down near the freeway of cars, a line of cars waiting to get into the Chick-fil-A drive-thru.
Might it be appropriate to call people that eat Chick-fil-A cluck-tards?
Yeah, because they're stupid for waiting so long. Like, it would have probably been a 2-hour wait.
What?
I'm not joking. Like, there were probably 80 cars in line. Maybe more. It's hard to tell. Because when you get up near the drive-through part, it becomes a two-line. It becomes two lines of cars. But they were backed up through the maze like that, out into the drive, and then out into the street. And to the point where the entire right lane was just cars that were turning into Chick-fil-A.
I was just admiring your gold toe socks.
Thank you, yeah.
I frequently wear gold toe.
I love them. Socks. They're very comfortable. They have like cushioning built into the socks.
They do. I've been happy with mine.
Yeah, they're great. Gold toe socks, ladies and gentlemen. Get your pair now.
Yeah, I've been very happy with these ones, too. These are people socks.
Oh, yeah.
Wool socks. I think they're from Brooklyn.
Mine,
and every pair you buy, they donate a pair.
Mine are they say Trump 2016 on them.
How high up do those go? Okay. I couldn't see because your jeans.
All the way to the knee.
I've got some that go up that high. They're like the soccer socks.
Oh, they're pretty regular crew cut, I think.
Yeah. I like the taller ones for when it's cold out, because at the bottom they look like normal black gold toe socks, but then secretly you've got this whole...
Right.
Almost like a stocking going on.
See, it's your little secret.
It is.
You're walking around, I've got a little secret. I'm wearing stockings. Chick Tracts. Chick Tracts are these little religious pamphlets that this guy... would make, and they were like comics almost that were like intended to convert people. He would just hand them out, and they
like
were really
cartoon comics.
Yeah, and they were just they had like a little comic strip, and he would just hand them out, and they would range from just really really absurd stuff, like you would have one Oh God, I don't remember any of them right now, but I remember they were just so absurd. You can look them up on the internet. They're called Chick Tract. Chick Tracts. They're very, very funny. And not intentionally funny. Like, they were meant to be legit religious pamphlets to convert people and stuff. And I'm sure this person was very well and intentioned and everything. He just... And I'm not trying to mock religion or anything, but these pamphlets are ridiculous. I'm sorry. They're really, really ridiculous. Anyway,
that's something you remember fondly.
That's something I remember fondly from childhood is Chick Tracts. Actually, I don't know how I got off on that. I think we were talking about Universal Studios.
Vigorously.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to talk about how I went to Universal Studios with my dad, and it was raining really hard that day. Well, it started raining. It kind of does that in Florida. You have these freak rainstorms that come out of nowhere. And it rained really hard briefly, but while it was raining, all the people that were like wanting to ride stuff, they weren't riding anything because you don't ride roller coasters in the rain.
Yeah, they closed them.
They did close them, though.
They didn't.
They did not. They were keeping them open, and nobody wanted to ride them. So my dad and I got on the Dueling Dragons roller coaster without any weight, and we rode it probably 5 times in a row.
Oh, wow.
And the fifth, like the last time that we rode it, it got locked up at the very end. And that's why you don't ride roller coasters in the rain. And we had to sit there. Thankfully, it wasn't like in a loop, you know, where it got stuck.
Upside down? Yeah.
It was at the very end. And we just got stuck there for probably 15 minutes. And then they just... And we were both kind of like, can't you just, you know, unharness us and we can just walk? Because it literally, we could see the end of the track. It was right there. We could have just walked out to it. But they're like, no, for your safety, you have to wait. Whatever. And we were the only two people on the roller coaster. Yeah. I don't know. That, for some reason, just sticks out as a fond memory, and I don't know why.
Yeah. It's a nice memory. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
And I have on here, the next last segment, I wrote down, everyone is John. But we're at an hour, and it's... 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm happy. Everyone is John or fuck John.
What? Everyone is John, the one that you enjoy playing.
What is fuck John? I don't.
Who
I
the
don't
fuck remember. Is Johnny?
Yeah,
that was a failed experiment. Well, not failed.
Did you guys ever actually play it in the podcast?
I played it once with Josh, and it took a really long time, and it didn't make a lot of progress. And
I don't know that you can play Everyone is John with two people.
Oh, you can't? I don't know how it works.
Oh, you've never played it?
I haven't. I've been wanting to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could, but one person has to GM it, so...
Yeah.
It would just be me playing against myself.
Oh.
The way Everyone is John works is, if you haven't ever heard of this game, it's a great little role-playing game. All you require is one die, which we have here, I noticed, and like some poker chips or something. Something to keep track of, like, whatever. But, honestly, if you're playing it with one person, you don't even need those, I don't think. Because they're mostly used for bidding. I guess you'd still need them for the dice rolls. But anyway, the way it works is you're playing and, there's a person named John who is, he has multiple personality disorder, or he hears voices in his head, something like that. And you play one of the personalities. So you will get control of John, and you have skills that you're good at, and you have goals that you want to meet. You have a level 1 goal, level 2 goal, and a level 3 goal, and you get 1, 2, or 3 points for achieving those goals. Now, the level 1 goal should be something fairly simple. The level 2 goal should be more difficult. The level 3 goal should be very difficult. And they can be whatever you want. They can be very, very absurd. I think we played it before, and somebody's level 3 goal was like, I think it was to perform a taxidermy on a baby or something.
Whoa!
And that ended up happening. And then he gave a speech about it because he had a good public speaking skill. And he was giving a speech about performing a taxidermy on a dead baby while... people were listening in a medical operating room theater. It was the most crazy shit. It's a fun game. I would love to play it.
Me too. I guess not tonight.
Yeah, that's okay.
Or maybe later tonight if there's more people. Offline, though. We won't record that one.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
You don't deserve it.
The listening
public.
Josh, Tom.
You don't deserve
maybe
it.
Maybe Mike.
Mike, you don't deserve it. Josh, you don't deserve it. Tom, you don't deserve it.
Sal deserves it, but we don't know
Sal,
if he's listening.
If you're listening, you deserve it.
Yeah.
But we're still not going to do it. But you deserve it.
And the very last segment is called Just the Tip. Not like that.
I know.
Offer one tip to other aspiring comedians, but you already did that. You said it's a listen.
That was kind of the question you asked me. I can give another tip.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, listening is the most important thing. I will give tips like this. Look, if you want to do characters or accents or anything like that, practice them constantly. Record yourself doing them. I record myself when I get bored driving around because I drive a lot for work, which I won't be at my new job, but I'm going to be working 12-hour shifts, and I'm going to be in a data center by myself on the weekends, so I'm going to have a lot of downtime, so I might do this even there. It's a 25,000-square-foot facility. I don't think anybody's going to care if I record myself doing goofy impressions, but that's what I do. I record myself doing my impressions, and then I play them back and listen to them. Because you can't always... You might hear your own voice in your own head, and you think, oh, I sound okay. Like, this is a pretty good Morgan Freeman that I'm doing. And then you play it back, and you're like, this is actually not that good. How could I improve it? My voice isn't as deep as it sounds when I hear it in my own ears because of your bones or something like that.
Bones.
Because of your bones, yeah. Your bone. I'm not sure what I'm talking about, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with your bones. Reverberation, I don't know.
It's, erections?
Maybe your intern could tell us.
I'm not looking for a medical intern.
but they should know audio well enough to know about your bones impacting the audio quality.
I'm the ad I'm going to have. Must have bone knowledge.
Yes, must have knowledge of how bones impact your voice, how you hear yourself. No, but I think that is like a genuine thing to some extent.
Yeah.
You hear yourself differently than how others hear you.
Yep.
And that's why people hate hearing themselves recorded. I'm probably going to hate listening to this, and I'm probably not going to listen to all of it.
Like most of our audience. Sorry. That was mean.
That, to yourself. Or do you mean specifically because I'm the guest?
Oh, no. I'll put half that on me also.
Well, I've done most of the talking, so... but no, record yourself. Do impressions. Try. I see. That's one thing I will tell you. If you're going to make it doing improv or comedy, or if you want to keep doing improv or comedy, you have to do characters. It's such an important part. And I know that a lot of improvisers, like, they'll get by without doing characters, but at some point you have to do something other than yourself. You can't be yourself in every scene. Even if your character is subtle, it helps to differentiate your character by doing a different voice, especially if you're going to do long form. In long form, you're going to portray multiple characters sometimes. You got to be able to help the audience differentiate between them. And the best way to do that is to make them big and over the top and easy to differentiate between. And some people, one of the things that I notice about improvisers in Grand Rapids, not all of them, but a lot of them, don't do characters. They don't make any effort to do characters. And maybe they feel like, oh, I'm not good at it. I'm not gonna be able to do a voice. I'm not good at accents. I'm not good at anything like that. That's fine. You may be not good at it right now. And it's a skill like any other. You can practice it. You can hone it. You can get better at it. I'm not saying I'm great at it, but I can do accents. I can do characters. And part of the reason I can do it is because I have worked at it. I have put time and effort into it.
Can you give us a taste of some of your repertoire?
I've been told my Australian accent is good. Yeah. It takes a minute to get into.
We got time.
Well, you know, sometimes I'll just... It depends on, you know, do you want me to just kind of do like a regular bloke, just kind of talking, you know?
Yeah. But
this is kind of the baseline Australian accent. This is how they actually talk, you know? And from there, you can take it all sorts of crazy places. You can make it kind of exaggerated. You can make it kind of Crocodile Dundee. You can get really gruff. And there are no actual Australians that actually talk like this. But you can make it really over the top. This is how we think Australians talk in this country. But really, it's more mellow, kind of like this, you know?
I feel like I'm catching some hints of, like, South African? New Zealand, like, yeah. Kiwi in there.
Yeah, probably. It's a very similar accent. Hmm. You can, if you take the Australian and you stunt it a little bit, just stunt the words so that they are a little bit shorter and like this a little, it becomes more of a South African accent.
Oh, yeah.
If you can hear that, that's one thing that I've noticed. They have very similar accents. Mm-hmm. The South African accent is very Dutch.
Mm.
And Dutch people, their words are shorter. They don't hold out the words in their sentences as much. So that's
Isn't
just...
that weird?
Hmm? Isn't that weird? Gold member?
Yeah. You have a smoking
a pancake.
A bong and a blint.
That movie was so shitty, but it's still not fun to reference.
I wish Mike Myers would make new movies.
Oh yeah, The Love Guru was so great.
I wish he would make new
verbal
movies
eye roll
different from the last one he made.
I guess, yeah, I don't know. Work on doing characters. Like, that's one of the things. When I ran a workshop for fictional friends this past week, and people were telling me how good they like, how much they enjoyed the workshop afterwards. One of the things that I really focused on during the workshop was character work. And I told people specifically, go outside your comfort zone. If you normally don't do characters, or you feel like you're not good at them, or you don't think you could do something very over the top and your characters are really subtle, just kind of different versions of yourself, do something big and over the top. If you normally do like an over the top character, like Andy from Planned Parenthood.
Andy Cash.
Yes. Great at character work, but all of his characters are very over the top. One thing that he's been working on lately, and I've been really talking to him about like how I think it's a good idea that he's doing this, is he's trying to do more subtle characters. Hmm. Because he's great at over the top characters.
Yeah.
He makes everybody laugh doing those. But it is important to be well-rounded, and he's been trying to get better at doing more subtle characters, less character-driven improv.
Oh, man, which Donkey Kong bit killed me. That was so good.
He was on fire last week. I can't wait to do more stuff with him. I'm gonna miss working with him. I'm going to miss working with a lot of people. I'm going to miss working with so many people.
A lot of talented improvisers, yeah, in Grand Rapids.
There really are. And I really, you know, I love Grand Rapids. I hope the improv scene continues to build up here. And yet, I kind of also hope some of them will come to Chicago or go elsewhere and just chase their dreams out there. Because they're good. They're good. And I hate to, like, shit on Grand Rapids because I love Grand Rapids. But some of them are just too good for Grand Rapids.
Hmm.
You know what I mean, though? I don't mean that in a negative way.
The Grand Rapids environment can't fulfill.
It can't. Yeah, it can't. It can't. They level. Can't. Right.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I'd love for it to get to the point where it could, but right now it's just not there.
It's holding back their potential.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say work on characters, work on scene work, work on all of that. Like, and this is more of an advice for like veteran or experienced improvisers rather than beginners. But it can help beginners too. You know, I came into this, I've been doing goofy voices my whole life. So I kind of came into this with a leg up on in that department because that's just something that I enjoyed doing. I would make friends laugh just by doing dumb, goofy voices and bad impressions. And I've worked on my impressions even before I did improv. I tried to make them better. I don't think I have any that are, like, great, but I think I've got a couple that are pretty decent. I like doing accents. I don't know.
Keith Urban? Or is it Kyle Urban?
It's Carl? Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
The Urban Brothers.
Yeah, that's one of the sketches I'll miss.
That was not a sketch. That was just bullshit. We didn't write out any of that. We just made it all up on the spot.
One of the bits, I guess, is the proper term.
Yeah. The Urban Brothers. Yeah, I had a lot of fun doing that. Maybe didn't go over quite as well as we'd hoped, but I don't think a lot of people really got it.
I didn't know they weren't actually brothers. I had to look it up on
They're not, no. It's such a niche reference, too.
Yeah.
Like, people kind of know who Keith Urban is. Like,
at least the name.
Yeah, but then it's like, how many people that know who Keith Urban is also know who Carl Urban is, and also know that they're both from New Zealand, Australia. Not Grand Rapids, obviously. It's just, yeah, it's a niche thing. Anyway, that's my tip.
Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being
here.
You're
welcome.
Unless there's anything else you'd like to discuss, then...
No, I just want to close by kind of telling everybody, like, reiterating, you know, if we're, like, Facebook friends, you probably saw my very long-winded post about how I'm leaving and everything. But I do just want to reiterate how much everybody here has meant to me and how I really do hope that things in Grand Rapids continue to build up, and I would love to come back and see shows here, and I'm sure I'll be back from time to time, but I would love to come back after not being in Grand Rapids for 5 years and see how much and everything has changed, and I would love to come back and be able to see, oh wow, there's an improv scene here now, like that's bigger than it was when I was here, and I would love to come back and just see everything develop. I want to see how it changes. And I really do look forward to that. Grand Rapids will always hold a special place in my heart. It's kind of where I learned who I was and what I want to do.
All right. Well, thanks again for being here and for sharing everything. And good luck. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. That's the end.
Eyes in the sky, gazing far into the night. I raise my hand to the fire, but it's no use, 'cause you can't stop it from shining through. It's true, baby, let the light shine through. If you believe it's true, baby, won't you let the light shine through for you. We'll be right back.
in the sky, gazing far into the night. I raise my hand to the fire, but it's no use, 'cause you can't stop it from shining through. It's true, baby, let the light shine through. If you believe it's true, baby, won't you let the light shine through? We'll be right back.